want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Right about now, I'd love for all my girlies and all my gals who love the finer things in life to move to the front of the theater, of the auditorium, because today I've got a very interesting guest. I have got the owner of SN Lux with the slogan, "A Feel of Luxury." Samantha, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm trying to get my voice to sound velvety and expensive and luxe. Am I winning?
It is.
How are you this evening?
I'm great, thanks. Thank you for having me today.
We love that we have you. In fact, I would love for you to pick a color to tell us how you're doing or feeling today. What is that color?
Okay, I'm going to be biased, but I'll pick black.
Okay.
Black a color, but yes.
Yeah,
black.
It is. Tell us why.
I'm feeling like luxury.
Ooh.
I'm feeling expensive.
Ooh.
I'm feeling all things opulence.
Ooh.
You know.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. While we're still getting to know a bit about you, how would your next door neighbor describe you?
You know what? You would think I'm lying, but we actually don't have a neighbor. The next tent to us is empty.
I was about to ask, do you live in a farm?
No.
Okay. How would any of
in
your neighbors...
In a newly developing suburb,
ah,
I'll
love
say.
It. How would any of your neighbors describe you, though? Past or present?
Okay. They'll say I'm a very reserved person.
Okay.
I keep to myself a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe a very classy lady, because all they see is, you know, the outward dressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But isn't that the thing about luxury, that it's not accessible to everybody?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Embodying your brand, I see.
Exactly. You get it. I love that.
I get it. Do you mind telling us about a sweet surprise got delivered to your doorstep lately? Or recently?
Oh, yes. Okay. I mean, we're in March.
Yes.
Last month was Valentine's.
Oh.
So, you know,
oh.
A girl got some flowers and a little bracelet, you know.
Was that God or your man's, though? Let's talk about that. Or was it a man's from God?
It was...
It
was a from God.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that. Now that we know you a little bit better, I have to ask this question. Why this business? So here's my view on business, right? Or the businesses that people found or start. That they're very tied to a story about them or an experience they had recently or in the past, right? So I can assume that one of two things happened with you. You grew up in luxury and you thought, I am never letting this lifestyle go. And so it made sense for you to start this business because, listen, we're not dropping the standard. Or you didn't see or have luxury around you and you thought, you know what, this can't be my life. When I grow up, this is exactly what I'm going to afford myself. So why this business? How did you happen upon Lux?
Okay, so this is how the story starts.
Okay.
I was brought up by a mother who was very fashionable. Unfortunately, she passed away in 2022.
So sorry.
She's probably one of the most fashionable people that I know.
Yeah.
She had a handbag for every event.
Oh, girl.
And a matching pair of heels for everything.
Hi-o.
So I think growing up in that, subconsciously, my mind was I don't know, it was just fixated on saying this is how a woman who loves herself should look, you know. They should prioritize certain accessories in their wardrobe and make and have statement quality pieces. And I saw how that impacted her confidence. It was so, I don't know if I should say so bad, but in her later years, my mom would struggle to actually walk in flat shoes. It's weird, but she was tall. So she would walk in this majestic step in with their high heels and wouldn't mind that she's towering over people, and she was so beautiful. And I was like, wow, that's amazing, you know. So I think when I then came up with the business idea to sell heels and handbags, that was subconsciously already in my head.
Yeah. So who do you sell to? And I know. You mentioned heels and handbags. So, of course, it's women. But what kind of women do you sell to? Is it women who are already confident or women whose confidence you are really trying to bolster?
Okay. So, I'm looking for, or I'm selling to a woman who, first of all, loves herself and believes that she is the occasion, you know?
Okay.
When you walk into a room and you're dressed to the T, you know, you turn heads around. So you have to have an inner belief to that, to think that, you know what, I am the occasion, I am the statement piece, and how I look is of importance.
Yeah.
So that's the woman that I sell to. That is my target market. I'm looking for women who want luxury pieces that are accessible and timeless.
And how do you find these women? Because confidence isn't necessarily written on someone's forehead. I know you mentioned that your mom didn't even mind towering over people, and for her, her confidence was loud. But there are those whose confidence is soft, like me. If you find me in a space full of people, I'm sitting in a corner minding my business. But when I have to be on stage and do the work that I do, it's like, hey, bo, where did you come from? So how do you find the women?
Okay, we thank God for technology and marketing.
Yeah.
I believe that when you market something and a potential customer has access to that, or they get to see whatever you're marketing, something inside a person just says, that is for you.
That's
you know,
me.
It doesn't have to be a big nudge. Exactly. You know, that thing is for you. You know, even when you're looking at merely a t-shirt, you can look at several t-shirts, hundreds of t-shirts, but you find that one t-shirt and you're like, that t-shirt is for me.
Yeah.
Even if it's a phone cover, you just feel it. So I do have marketing strategies that reach out to the people that I think are my target market, the women that I think are my target market, and my potential target market.
Yeah.
That I believe over the years, it's been working well.
Yeah.
And plan on bringing even more marketing strategies that will find the Ethan Lux type of women.
Yeah, it's like you're reading my mind, because my very next question is going to be, what are your marketing strategies? What are the things that work to get your people through the door?
Okay, so first of all, quality of products. You know, it's very important to offer the clientele quality of products.
Yes.
And that on its own is a marketing strategy, because one person buys, they go and tell the other person, and before you know it, you have referrals. That's the best. So in marketing, we say, I'm a self-taught marketer.
Okay.
We say the best marketing strategy is a happy customer.
Yes.
So that is the first one. The second one is engaging, you know, influencers, people that are that have an audience that would actually resonate with my line of business, the line of products that we sell. That is another route of going. And then also above all is the thing is, I do not just sell products. I sell an experience.
Ooh.
I sell a feel of luxury, you know. Not so many of us are able to afford your, in US dollars, maybe 3,000 US dollar bags or the quality that LV or Gucci or, you know, all of those things. But trust me, they are quality pieces that are not LV, are not your high label and high luxury bags.
Yeah.
So when you offer people what a person who's buying from LV would get, that on its own is a selling point, you know. The business, the customer service that we offer, the packages, everything. We sell the experience. We sell the luxury. We even serve water when people buy our own branded water.
Oh, girl, you know what you're doing, you know, all right?
Exactly. Ooh. You know, so all of those things really make people feel treasured. I always ask myself, if I were to be a customer of Ethan Lux, what would I want to experience?
Yeah.
and what would I want to feel? I love things, by the way. So all of that is driven by my love for things as well.
Yeah. And just tell me, because you could have just emulated what your mom did, right? Dress well, have these lovely heels and handbags. Why was it important for you to extend that experience and that feeling and that, I guess, disposition to other women?
I saw what it does to a woman as I was growing up to feel good. My mother would always make sure that I look good too. You know, as a child, my hair would always be done. I would always be dressed so smartly, matching colors. Yeah. But I think something that I've also, maybe just because you brought up this question, you know what happens? Things just pop in your head.
Yes.
I was raised by a single mother as well.
Okay.
You know, it is so easy to have those kind of women looked down upon in the society because, unfortunately, my dad passed when I was like months old.
Yeah.
So instead of her taking the back seat to say, I'm already an outcast in the society or people will look down on me, so let me just hide in the shadows. Mm. She just took up that front to say, no matter what life throws at me, I have a child to raise. I'm going to still look like a bomb.
Yeah.
I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to take care of my daughter. I'm not going to just, you know, throw myself away, just to say in layman's terms. Yeah.
So you're not doing this business full time, right? You're also juggling a corporate career.
Yes, I am. Yes,
how?
I am.
So I started a business in 2018. Right, 2019. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm lying. 2019. And let me tell you, because I love this business so much, sometimes my corporate job was not getting much of my attention. And when I had to like really put my attention into my corporate job, my business was struggling. So how are you able to juggle the both of them? And I'm asking this for somebody who is thinking that to start a business, they may need to just leave their jobs. But the reality is, you may not have to. In fact, you don't need to until the business demands more from you than you can currently give. Then you can think of transitioning. So how are you able to juggle the two and make sure that you still deliver quality at SN Lux, but even your career doesn't take a hit because you've got a passion project?
Okay, so first of all, I need to put it out there that I'm a very highly energetic person.
Okay, that helps.
Yes, just to put it out there.
Yeah.
And I'm very passion driven.
Yeah.
Once I'm passionate about something, I'll go to all lengths just to see it through.
Yeah.
But then I started my business as an online business in 2021.
Yeah.
So then I would only do deliveries once every week, and I was mobile then. I always look back and be like, God is so faithful.
Yeah.
I would go and do deliveries in the CBD once every week, and I'm like, those clients were so faithful to me because then just shortly after that, I then started driving. So I would ensure that I do all my deliveries in the morning before I got to work.
Yeah.
And then as deliveries were increasing, I could tell that it's now taking a strain on me.
Mm-hmm.
And God being faithful, I opened a physical shop last year in June.
Love it.
We've been operational for 9 months and there's an assistant.
Yeah.
So I've been training her. And now, you know, focus on the admin side of the business, like stocking up, marketing strategies, whilst she takes care of the customers and orders and deliveries to be made.
How has being an entrepreneur helped your corporate career, and how has being a corporate girlie helped your entrepreneurship journey?
Okay, let me start with the latter.
When
I moved jobs in 2022 and I moved into the retail sector from a manufacturing industry, so that was just to boost up my commercial side of things, to understand what really retailing is, so that it could, at the end of the day, benefit my own retailing that I'm doing. So I think that day-to-day exposure, seeing how marketing handles things, seeing how the supply chain is run and everything, it has actually helped me. I know it has subconsciously. You know, these things don't come directly where you can say tangible one, two, three things, but exposure, prolonged exposure to something will give you a different view, you know, as you know what they say, by beholding you become. So I've been exposed to the retail sector for 3 years now.
Yeah.
I think that has helped me also in how I run my own retail. And then in being an entrepreneur, how it's feeding into my business is that I deal mainly with suppliers. I get to see suppliers, vet suppliers in terms of quality. So that also helps me in turn when I'm selecting suppliers for my business. I know what to look for. I know what quality means. And I know how to deal with people to build supplier relations that last and collaborations, etc.
This is so lovely. In the beginning, when you started, did you have capital issues? Did you have issues with funding your business? Or was it just one bag at a time until one bag became 10 and 10 became 100?
I'm going to sound like one of those memes.
Oh, no.
Or you say I started my restaurant with one egg.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what happened with me. Because for me to start the business, like, you know what, I've just started working, but I need something on the side as well, you know. And then with the little money that I had $100, which is equivalent of like 1,700 rand.
Yeah.
I then ordered bags from China, like 20 mini bags, and then we've been rolling from there till date.
I'm happy that you mentioned China.
Mm-hmm.
Shein, Temu. Talk to me about all of that and you. Because in the beginning, people were questioning their quality, right? Like, Temu, what? But now people are saying the quality has increased. I mean, that industry, or not, because it's the same industry, but Temu and Shein are shaking your H&M, your Zara. So I can imagine what that can do for you as a local small business. Talk to me about the whole Shein and you.
Okay, so one thing about China is that we could just literally term it the manufacturer of the world. Yes. You find everything.
For sure.
From 0% quality to 100% quality. And the types of products that you want, the longevity also counts. So you know something can look like proper quality first 2 months of wearing it, and then 3 months you're like, wait, is this what I was, you know, wearing the past? So that counts. So, you know, platforms like Shein, they have best value. You know, it's either you're putting forward value or longevity, quality, or, you know, there's something that you're always sacrificing if you want a low price point. So in as much as I appreciate all of that, all of those things, I believe in one thing above all. Everyone has a different grace, you know. So the only competitor is myself. I'm my own competitor. Because I have my own grace. So they can be different people manufacturing, even selling the same things as I am. But the grace that we have been given by God is different. If I am meant to thrive in a certain business, regardless of who has what, even if they're selling the same exact thing as I, if I have the grace from God to achieve and to prosper, I will. Regardless of anything. So that's how I look at things.
That is so profound. That is so profound. I want you to, let's just double click on that, right? Where has this grace come through for you in a way that made you feel like, oh my Lord, what a good God you are? Can you tell me a story where it was just like, ah, if this were according to me, if I was doing this in my own strength, this would not have been the result?
I think just the business being able to turn 4 years, we're turning four in May, is just testament to God's grace over my business. The very fact that above all the businesses that are there, small businesses, you know, this is not like Tesla where I invented an electric car. I am on this platform. There could have been so many people that you could have engaged. But I have a platform, a regional platform, a divisional platform to talk about my business, you know. I see God's hand in everything. I've just been running for 9 months and I'm actually relocating to a different shop now, which is bigger, which is going to actually, you know, be more aligned with the vision that God has And even in our economy, which is not so friendly, hey, the business is still running and people are still buying. So I'm like, that's grace. I don't know how else I can express it. So many businesses are shutting down in my country. People can't keep up with the costs and everything. But my business, which is not selling a commodity, by the way, you know, if I was selling bread, would say people only need
people
bread.
Of course people will buy,
Selling shoes, I'm selling bags, and I'm still running. That's God.
That is so profound.
That's God for me.
It's honestly so profound. And tell me, and I've forgotten the question that I wanted to ask, and it's right at the tip of my tongue. Okay, pricing strategies. Mm-hmm. How do you determine your pricing? And I'm going to ask this because earlier in the first hour of the show, I was just talking to people about how we sometimes run our businesses to the ground because of our desperate pricing. We price from a place of desperation. Mm-hmm. We are in our customers' pockets way too much. Oh, maybe they won't afford this. And so you underprice and you literally shut down your own doors because you have a failed pricing strategy. So how do you navigate that? How are you conscious of the right price point that doesn't turn away your customers, but also doesn't repel them? Because sometimes low prices are like, you say quality, you say luxury, but this price does not speak to that. So how have you mastered pricing just right?
Okay, so there's something that Vusi Tembewayo says about pricing.
Yeah.
He says, you as an entrepreneur or as a business person, you name your price and you stick to it, you know. The moment you start wavering with your price, you know, like 1 minute you are selling something for 500 rands and you see that 1 week has passed, no one has come. 2 weeks has passed, no one has come. The third week you are calling out a 50% slash, you are selling it at 250. You are telling people that no, the initial price was wrong.
Was not the price.
You were trying. Yes.
Oh my.
So my pricing strategy is based one on the quality of the product that I'm selling. Two, on the service. Also, I need to factor in, I'm a business, I'm not a charity case. I need to factor in the cost that I have, the rental cost that I have, the storage cost that I have, and everything that comes along with it. And like I said, I sell more than just products. It's the experience. You know, you get there, you get water, you get good service, you get free packaging. We do have free packaging in one that you can buy, but I have, you know, packaging. So it's everything. It embodies everything. That's what the price does. So it's justified. So I do not lower my price because a client has, or especially new clients, they think that or they can work their way around prices. Yeah. So I've always been firm about my prices. And it's in the psychology of humans that they then understand that this is what she requires us to pay, and this is what we'll pay. There are obviously loyalty cards for the loyal clients who then come back. But when it comes to pricing, I stick to my price and I do not waver. And I make sure that the price is profitable because a business is meant to be profitable at the end of the day.
You know what I'm hearing you say, Sam? I'm hearing you say people determine the price. They determine the value or the worth they place to the experience or on the experience and what that the thing they're getting from you will be. So if somebody thinks that 3,000 rand is too expensive for a bag, that's because they don't think the experience is worth it. They don't think that the feeling that they will derive or the way the outfit turns out is worth that. And so they'll go to Shein where they get a bag for 200 rand and whatever feeling comes with that, that is what they determine. So what I'm hearing you say is people actually determine the price. I've said, hey, if this is what you want, this is what it's going for. But you determine whether or not it's worth it for you.
Yes. You just put it perfectly.
Yeah. Now tell me, because I really, you know what? I love the fact that entrepreneurship can unlock so many doors for us, especially financially, right? I was able to pay my car off in 3 years versus the 72 months that I was contracted with the bank for. And the truth is, I was able to pay for that because I was making additional income from my business. I was working a full-time job, but also there was money here. I could take courses to enhance my business skills because I had money coming in. There was so much I could do because of this money. What are some of the things you've been able to do as a result of being a business owner?
financial freedom
is
like one of the things I've attained.
Preach that.
In as much as in as much as I'm still in the stage, you know, of reinvesting in my business, like I'm just telling you, we're moving to a bigger location. I'm still reinvesting more in my business. But to tell you the truth, right now, my business is self-sufficient. Initially, you know, I still had to fork out a bit of money to support it, but now it can run and pay all its costs without me chipping in a single rand or dollar or cent. So the financial freedom that comes with being able to get anything that I want at any given point in time, because I have a business and I'm a bit liquid, more than I would if I did not have this business. And creating that extra source of income is very helpful. It, for me, it feels like it's a calling, you know, like I've always known in my head that this is my line. Like I've been called to do business. I've been, so the perks of having a business has come with financial freedom, but also it comes for me on my end, comes with understanding God more. I know that sounds weird, but it actually does.
I get it. Someone once said, there's nothing that makes you rely on God more than running a business.
Exactly.
You don't know some facets of God until you have to run a business and rely exclusively on Him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But let me tell you
something. I'm going to actually say, sorry to disturb, but I'm going to actually say something. Just to buttress the fact that where you have to rely on God. So I've been telling God that I actually didn't think I would be moving this early, but for some reason, one day as I was seated in the office, I heard God saying, move from your current place. And I'm like, I have not even ordered my winter stock yet. Where am I going to get
money? Mean? This train is moving too quickly.
But it was like, move. So I'm like, I look for a place. I get it within 24 hours. I have a new place. And they want the money, they want everything. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do this because you told me. And every time I'm like, the money. So there was a loan that I take. And you know, business, you have to take loans for you to grow. And it was due in May, right? So just a few days after that of me trying to, you know, pay the deposit for the rentals and thinking, I now need to work 500% extra so that I can, you know, reimburse the loan. The person whom I took a loan for then texts me and he says, you know what, I've been thinking I would like to extend the loan for more 6 more months.
There is no like, way.
I'm like, what?
Sure.
I promise. I was like, you have no idea what you just did. Like, you have no idea what you just did. And I was like, That's God.
What is that line you said about grace and everyone having their own grace? I don't want to paraphrase
it. Okay, now I don't remember
which one. The spur of the moment thing.
Every individual has their own grace. Samantha. If God has called you to do something, regardless,
Samantha.
You know, of competition, of anything, God will provide.
Grace
will take you through.
It reminds me of that verse in Amos 9, verse 13 to 15 that says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now. God's decree, things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. And when I hear you say, God said do, and you did, and in 24 hours it was delivered, it's like, whoa, hold on. But sometimes that is just how God operates.
I know, right?
Yeah. And you know, when you said that, it made me think that someone can hear you say, God, I heard God say, and think, oh, there we go again with the fluffy stuff. All Christians say this thing.
Fair.
Oh, my goodness. Please talk to somebody who might be feeling like that about the relationship you have to cultivate to get to a point where you're able to discern between your own voice and God's voice, and maybe even the voice of the public. How did you get to a place where God is such a valuable partner in your business?
Okay, so like you mentioned that statement that says you don't really know God until you have to fully rely on Him when you're running a business. I have two reasons that would push me to an end. Firstly, I told you I've lost my parents.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm already in a position where I'm like, You are the one.
I've got
Secondly,
nobody
I'm running a
else.
business in a Zimbabwean economy. I'm like, you are the one times two. So I really love what my mother did for me. I'll just put it out there. I was brought up to have a relationship, my own personal relationship with God. So I think over the years, I've just learned to know. And through the studying of His word, the Bible says here, our faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Exposure to the word of God will help you discern the promptings of the Holy Spirit. That's all I can say. There's no voice that's gonna come from heaven and say, Samantha, Samantha,
This is what you should
move to this.
do.
You know, I feel like God attends to His children individually. So I could never be able to dictate how He does it for the other person. But for me, the prompting, I got the prompting and I could tell that it was him, you know. If not, then it's delusion. But the delusion is actually good because look, with the follow-up of someone just randomly saying, oh, we're adding 6 more months, that it just confirms that, you know, that was God. And I've seen it in so many instances for me to be able to discern His promptings when it comes to the things that He wants me to do or not do.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
If I was somebody who was contemplating a career pivot right now and I wanted to be an entrepreneur and I was listening to you, I would think this thing is easy. You just decide to be an entrepreneur and God just keeps coming through. That is what I would think. I think if I ever come across any challenge, it must not be God. I want you right now to talk to us about some harsh and hard realities of being an entrepreneur because I know it's not all roses and peaches and strawberries and all of those things. So, what are some difficulties that anybody who's thinking of being an entrepreneur might and will face on their journey?
Okay, it's entrepreneurship or venturing into business is a journey of sacrifices. You know, sometimes when things get hard on my end, I'm like, you know, I could be balling, you know, with a 30-inch bust down weave and looking like, you know, I don't have the liberty. So, which means you have to delay your gratifications, your self-pleasure for a long time, because once, like I told you, I had been investing in my business, like and still chipping in from the time we started being physical. So all the money that I've invested, I have not yet realized the return on investment. So
When are
it's
you
gonna take
cashing
time.
in, girl?
So
When are you cashing in?
yes, so it's going to take time. In as much as I have, you know, liberty to do one or two, three things, I need to have the discipline to know that I can't take the money right now, or I can't want it right now because the business still has to grow. So I once saw a tweet on X, a post on X, which was saying that someone was stating that they cannot be an entrepreneur. You know, they'll eat the profit and eat everything. And
And use the
I was like,
stolen.
I understand you because it takes a lot of discipline and a lot of sacrifice, a lot of financial risk. When I say that I took loans, this is money that belongs to someone. Trust me, I'm a debt-free person. I do not take personal loans. But when it comes to business,
You
you need
do.
to take the financial risk. And you're looking at things, you could wake up with the shop empty or theft or robbery or fire. That's a financial risk when already you've, you know, taken money, and there's going to be long sleepless nights if you are very particular about your business. You know, as I am, I just don't buy things. I go through suppliers, I look at the product, and they're going to be failures too. There was one time I engaged someone to procure for me, and they bought Temu
No,
quality
come
of my
on.
product.
Do you not know me?
And I was like, this is not happening. And that time I could see that, you know, I was tempted to stop, but I was like, I'm just going to keep going. So failures are there, and seasons of silence where you feel like God is silenced that day as well. I really tell people this, but the first time I opened the shop in June last year, tell me why Exactly 2 days after that, there was a robbery at the complex.
Excuse me, sir.
I promise
did
you.
Did I hear you
I
wrong?
I promise you.
Lord, did I hear like, you wrong?
I've been running online the whole time and I've had my things intact. The minute I open a business,
no. Wait, was there's any a robbery. Stock taken
to
from
make
your
matters
shop?
Worse, 2 weeks after that,
yeah,
there was a robbery at my place.
Okay.
And both my phones were stolen. Okay. I was like, wow.
No, so you mean
what is
your initial
my business phone was stolen,
your
my
initial
personal
store
phone was
front.
Stolen.
Wait,
my laptop
Sam.
Was stolen.
Wait. I need to get this clear. You open a physical shop, and did you say 2 days later the complex gets robbed?
Yes, let's try to work with dates. Let's say I opened the shop on the 1st of June.
Yeah.
On the 3rd of June, the shop is robbed.
Was anything taken from your shop?
Yes, the good thing it wasn't much, but just the thought of it, you know, to keep running after such an incident has happened took a lot, took a lot of mental strength
because
I was a bit shocked. They took some bags and some pair of shoes as well. So that was like, okay, cool, I see. It's fine.
And then
on the 22nd of June, I was robbed at home.
Your phone
twice in
gets
1 month.
Stolen. Your phone
never such
gets
a loss.
Stolen, right? So here's the thing, your phone gets stolen and your phone was your initial storefront. That's where you were running things from.
Yes.
So it was
as if
to say, now you've lost the thing you thought you
exactly
had,
because you thought
this
was
going to
work.
Direction.
So it's
like God was burning things the bridges.
Will, yeah, jeez. Things will come to try you, and it's not all rosy. Yeah. Honestly,
yeah,
business is not the easiest of things. But like I said, if it's a calling, I feel like we don't all have the same calling. Mm. Some people don't have the heart for it. Mm. They are just, okay, it's corporate girlies or, you know, 9 to 5.
Yeah.
But if you have the calling, it will burn inside you
it
and you want
burn.
To fulfill
it.
And it I feel the same way.
100%. You know, there's a principle that you outlined in this latter part of the conversation that I think is so critical. You mentioned that you are a person who stays clear of debt, but where your business is concerned, you will get into debt. And the difference here is you are not your business. Your business is a separate entity. And you're able to make those decisions because you are in the process of investing in your business. And sometimes, as with any other, well, I'm a mining engineer, right, by qualification.
Okay.
And so before you can start any mine, there's something we call a debt to equity ratio. So if you're putting your mine or your mine plan out there, you determine this is the amount of debt I'm going to get into and this is the amount of equity I'm going to have by running a public offer and getting people to invest. And it's a similar thing, it's a similar way you have to think even with your business that I might have equity of only got 1,700 Rand, which is what you had, but the rest of it might need debt. So my debt equity ratio will look different. But for a lot of people, you want to get into business and you get a personal loan for yourself. And I'm not saying this is wrong, but I'm saying this might not be the thing to do in the beginning, because getting a personal loan in your name that you might struggle to, that you might struggle to service may negatively impact the very business you were trying to get the loan for. But once it is in its own entity and it's running on its own, and it can service that debt, then you can consider things like that. What are your thoughts on your business and you being separate entities and understanding that you may not make this decision yourself, but your business needs it. And so you will have to make the decision.
Okay, so my understanding is rooted in God's word. Mm. God says we should stay clear of debts.
It even says don't become surety for somebody else's debt.
He says we should stay clear of debts.
Yeah.
And I believe there's a moment, it's only that I'm still building my business right now, but my goal actually is to not take any loans beyond this. God says in his word that he wants us to be the lenders and not the borrowers. Deuteronomy 28:12. I'll read this because I speak it on my business as I'm praying for God's favor. It says, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none.
Ooh.
So that's my goal right now, to say, I want to stop this borrowing thing. Yes. You know, it's I've just been stocking up, you know, because moving from online to a physical shop, you understand that the gap is in stock. You need to stock up extensively to keep the shop running because you have big costs. I had to, it was a business call. And I will not take any loans on a personal note because that would be very unwise, financial wise. Because if the business cannot service its own loans, it's then it is not a business. If it cannot service its own loans, perchance I fail to service the loans that I owe right now. My stock is twice and or thrice the value of the loans that I have. So either way, confident that I will be able to service the loans. So that's my business and it's building its own equity and everything. But me as a person, calculating my own salary and my wants, and for the mere fact that I'll be using that money for self-gratification, it means there's no interest. The money does not come with any interest. It will not come back with any, you know. Yeah, so that would be very unwise. And as a personal, as on a personal note, I do not take loans, no personal loans. But as a business, as long as the business is capacitated to service the loan, it is, I can make the decision to say, okay, we need to take a loan because we need the cash. We're not liquid, but we have inventory that is twice the value of the loan, thrice the value of the loan. So it's not a problem. If push comes to shove, we sell. Even if it's at 50% value of the goods, I can still service the loan.
Yeah. You have just given us a masterclass. Business 101. This is so amazing. It's stuff I wish I had learned back in 2019 when I was starting out.
I just can highlight something. I am purely a science person. I have a background in science. So I've learned this. That's been the beauty of this business. I've been learning marketing and, you know, business principles on my own just by running it and just by reading God's word, because everything that we want to learn about business is there in the word of God.
When I'm going to keep you forever, if you don't stop talking... Because every now and then you are preaching to us, you are teaching us. This is just such a full bouquet. I love it, love it, love it. There is one thing I want to go back to before we wrap up. You said that you are still pouring money into your organization you haven't taken out. How do you know it's time to cash in? And by cash in, I'm not saying take the money and splurge, go away. But how do you know that your business is ready now for you to have get something out of it?
Okay, so I've stopped. Okay, I've stopped. Actually, I recently stopped. I think I told myself that December 2024 was the last month I would put a single dollar in the business, and I stopped. So right now, my business only services, like, you know, my gym payments or something minor. I'm trying not to take away from it until I service the loans. So the moment I'm clear from the loans that I have and the moment we're good to go, then I know that it's time for me to start reaping. But now I have to allow, you know, the planting season to happen, the growing season. When the harvest is ready, I shall reap. So that's how I know.
Samantha, Samantha, Samantha. Hi, yes, thank you. You have really given us so much about entrepreneurship, about readiness, about applying yourself. Because when I started the show, I said for a lot of us who are starting businesses, we are starting business just to survive. We are accidental survivalists. We don't start businesses with a building mindset and mentality. And so we're just thinking about how much am I making today? How much am I making this month? And it is never, what legacy am I leaving with this business? Is it ready? Can it stand on its own? Everything that you shared with us about your approach and your learnings, it really just speaks to what I said in the beginning of the show. And so when I say ngiyabonga, I mean it from the depth of my heart, because what you've given us today is so amazing. It is so amazing. Anybody who's considering getting into business or thinking about entrepreneurship will now not just do it for the sake of being a girl boss or showing on social media that you have a business, because it is not easy. but you've given us tools to navigate the journey. And for that, we are eternally grateful.
No, you're welcome. And thank you for having me. Really, I appreciate it.
What haven't I asked you that you want to say to people?
I think I've just mentioned everything I would have wanted to speak about, but just to buttress on the fact that I think as DAs particularly, we tend to shy away from the topic of business.
Hold on, I need to get ready. Let me fix my chair. Because I don't want to fall. Okay.
Oh my gosh, yes. So I was saying, I feel like we tend to shy away from the topic of business.
Yes.
Because it feels so much tied with the prosperity gospel.
Yeah, bo.
Right? But the honest truth is that God has laid out proper financial rules for us in the Bible, and He has placed blessings on the works of our hands. And even the very commandment that we keep, Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11.
Oh, I love it so much. Yes,
keep going. Your maid servant, your man servant, your livestock, your things. So it is in God's will for us, masters. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because being slaves will enhance compromise in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've been unemployed for 7 years, and you get a job that says, come work on the Sabbath.
You will run to that job.
You will run. You will run. So I just want to remind people that it is God's will for us to handle our finances well.
Mm.
It is God's will for us to be masters in whatever capacity, and particularly in the business sense as well. Mm. God wants us to understand Him. And if we rely fully on Him and run our businesses, not with the product and the services we are currently offering, but with the mindset of God's kingdom business way of doing things, we'll go far. And lastly, I tell myself that, yes, someone might think, ah, she's just doing bags and shoes. What has she to do? It's regular. Everyone can do it. Anyone can do it. Moses attended sheep for 40 years.
Oh, come through.
Before he led the Israelites.
Come through.
So this for me is my training ground. I am going to be leading multimillionaire companies in the future, but I need to start with this very small handbags and shoe business, because the principles are just the same. What's different is the size.
Yes.
So I'm done.
So
I'm
in
done.
Your mind, you and Coco Chanel and Louis Vuitton and Gucci are peers.
Yes, in the future, yes, God willingly. It might not be in this line of business. Mm. It might be in a different line of business. Mm-hmm. But one thing about business, the principles are the same.
Yeah. I love this so much. And as you were speaking, I was reminded of the verse in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 and 12. Stay calm. Mind your own business.
Yes.
Do your own job. You've heard all this from us before, but a reminder never hurts. We want you living in a way that will command the respect of outsiders, not lying around sponging off your friends. So you said God wants us to have dominion and to rule and to have made servant. He basically wants us in a position of power. And this verse is Paul reminding the church in Thessalonica, stay calm. Mind your own business. Do your own job so that you may live a life that demands the respect of those who are outside. In fact, even in Deuteronomy, because you mentioned it, that verse says He gives us the power to produce wealth. And the reason He does that is so that
18. I love it.
It's so that neighboring nations will say, how are they doing it? And the glory goes back to Him, because the principles they use, the way they operate, and everything around what they are doing and how they are doing it gives God glory. And today, you have given your God glory. And for that, we are grateful. Thank you so much for your time, Sam.
Thank you so much. Thank
Where
you
can
for
people
having me
find
once
you?
again.
Where can people find you so they can cop these bags and be as luxurious and as confident as your mommy was?
All right. So our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages are SN Lux, SN.Lux. Yeah, SN, the initials, and then Lux, LUXE.
Yeah.
You'll find us. And then if you want to follow me personally, it's simply Sam on Instagram and Samantha Ngwenya on Facebook.
Okay. I'm so glad you said personally, because that is exactly what I'm going to do. I will be following you personally and keeping you in my Rolodex, because you are the kind of person to have in anyone's corner. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank
and God
so
bless
much.
You and expand your territory.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the blessing. God be with you as well.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.